liturgical calendar and our secular calendar. The whole cycle of Easter began on Ash Wednesday, which this year was Valentine's Day. Easter occurred on April 1st, April Fool's Day. Ascension, for those places where it's celebrated on Sunday, happened on May 13th. And today, for Pentecost weekend, it's maybe more local. Georgetown graduation, or if you want to go international, of course, it's the wedding of Prince Harry, which, by the way, Bishop Curry has raised the bar for wedding bars, and he has certainly schooled the royals about a great tradition of American preaching. But it's not just the secular calendar and the liturgical year calendar that have come into collision. Every year, there's another collision that is actually much richer and much deeper, and that is the conjunction of the Jewish festivals, pilgrimage festivals, and the Easter cycle. The pilgrimage festivals in Judaism started as harvest festivals at different times of the year for the different crops. There are three of them, and they are tied deeply into the season that we celebrate. The first one is Pesach, Passover, right? This was originally when the first crop was brought in, the barley crop was brought in, the earliest crop. So the crop was brought in, and it was a time of celebration. Gradually it evolved into the commemoration of the liberation of the people of Israel from Egypt. Of course, it's tied into our celebration of the Triduum with the Last Supper. But did you know this year it's even more closely tied in? Pesach began on March 30th, Good Friday, and ran through April 7th, which was the end of the octave of Easter. So again, one of these coming together of different calendars. The next one is Shavuot. Forgive the pronunciation. But it's the one that we're celebrating today. Pentecost is a Jewish festival. Pentecost, the original meaning, is the 50th day after Passover. It is also known as the Festival of Weeks because it is 7 weeks, which are 7 days long, after Passover. And one day past that is 50. Pentecost was the feast that began when the wheat was gathered. The wheat was gathered and brought to the temple. Now, interestingly, this took on all kinds of meanings in Judaism beyond the simple celebration of the harvest. Because in some understandings of the book of Exodus, it took the people of Israel 50 days to get from Egypt, their freedom there, to Mount Sinai. 50 days. All right? This 50 days then began to commemorate, at the end of it, the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. That's why, very intriguingly, those first two readings we heard are very important and link us right into that, because those readings about the Tower of Babel and about Mount Sinai were read at the temple celebrations for this feast that we are celebrating today. And in fact, that's why they were all in Jerusalem. It was a pilgrimage festival, and Jews from around the Mediterranean were encouraged to come back to Jerusalem to celebrate. That's why they were in Jerusalem. That's why they were locked in the upper room on this evening. So much, we're used to that part, but something different is happening tonight, isn't it? If you listen to those readings, they aren't the readings you expect for Pentecost, right? You didn't hear the good old standard Pentecost readings, the one from Acts about being gathered behind locked doors and the Spirit descended on. Not here tonight. We would have heard, if you come tomorrow, a reading from the Gospel of John, which is a kind of descent of the Spirit, not as dramatic as that in Acts. We don't hear that tonight. In a way, we have everybody to thank who arranged and had this vigil tonight for that, because these readings are forcing us to look at Pentecost from another way, not those standard old readings of what Pentecost meant and means. So what could these different readings lead us to some kind of a fresh understanding? You go to the gospel, and that's not much help, is it? At the end of the gospel, he said this in reference to the Spirit, that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is from the 7th chapter of John, so we're far from the end of things. But it does mention Spirit, and in a sense of the vigil, we are waiting for that Spirit. But again, it's not quite the same as hearing one of those Gospels about how Jesus gives the Spirit to his followers. The line in there that became more important for me than the confusion about that was that very first one. On the last and the greatest day of the feast. On the last and the greatest day of the feast. What feast is this? First, a step back. In John's Gospel, Jesus goes to Jerusalem many times. It's somewhat debatable exactly how many times. That's different from all the other Gospels. In all the other Gospels, Jesus goes to Jerusalem only one time. In John's Gospel, he goes up for several of the great pilgrimage festivals. He is a devout Jew. One can also conclude that he might be a bit of a liturgy nerd. I say that among a group of people who are here on a Saturday. And it points to that topic which has been raised here, which is liturgical spirituality. We get all kinds of spirituality thrown at us. But the most profound one is the one that flows from our celebration of liturgy. And here in John's Gospel, we find Jesus going up to the temple over and over again. But the Gospel isn't clear about what feast this is. On that last and greatest day of the feast, scholars say that it's the third of the pilgrimage festivals. The third of the pilgrimage of the harvest festivals is Sukkot. Now, this one does not jive with our calendar, which, by the way, I should have mentioned in Shavuot that, you know when it starts? Tonight. And it ends on Monday. Our calendars are aligned again. No such thing in the fall because that occurs from September 23rd through the 30th. But what was different about that festival of what we hear him talking about? That festival was a festival for the harvest of all the other things, not the grains had already been brought in, but the festival for bringing the grapes, the corn, other things. And the difference with that festival is that at that time, you didn't go back out into the fields. For those other two festivals, you had to go back out into the fields and work some more because there were crops needing tending. Not so at this festival. At this festival, you celebrated, and then you could relax for a while. This festival is also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tents. Originally, these were meant to commemorate or to call to mind the shelters that farmers and those raising crops built for themselves out in the fields so they could stay close to the work while they were harvesting. But what it came to mean in light of those other feasts was the 40 years of wandering in the desert, the little tents with temporary homes, the people of Israel for those 40 years. So we have the liberation of the people of Israel on Passover. We have the giving of the commandments at Mount Sinai on the Feast of Weeks today. And then, the tabernacle, we have the wandering in the desert. So, you've got that background. There will be a quiz before you speak. I'm trying to get all of this straight. What can all of that mean in terms of these readings, which are new to us, and what does Pentecost have to say to us? First of all, I think that idea that Jesus is speaking on the Feast of Tabernacles that recalls the wandering of the 40 years in the desert certainly speaks to that second reading from Paul. We know that all creation population is growing in labor pains even until now. But not only that, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves. For in hope we were saved, now hope to, that sees is not hope. For who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. We wait with endurance. For 40 years in Israel, in their tents and their tabernacles, the people of Israel waited with endurance. And now, 2,000 years after Jesus returned to heaven and sends the Spirit on this feast, we still wait, don't we? We wait. It's appropriate that this is the feast of waiting in our tents for the return of Jesus. So that's not the bright and cheery theme of Pentecost, is it? There is another one that I find running through all of the readings that is a little cheerier. Of course, you could pick out Spirit in all these readings. Spirit occurs throughout there. But since we're trying to do something a little different on this Pentecost, let me point out something that occurs throughout there that gets, I think, to the heart of Pentecost, maybe in a different way. In the first reading about Babel, there's a line there, the Lord came down. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower. The Lord came down. And then in the next reading from Exodus, Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down on it in fire. The Lord came down upon it in fire. And in the next reading, the hand of the Lord came upon me. The Lord came down, the Lord came down, the Lord came upon me. And finally from Joel, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Lord came down. The Lord will pour out his Spirit. The Lord came down. In some ways, what Pentecost signals is the end of the cycle of God's self-giving that we've been celebrating throughout the liturgical year. In the Incarnation, in the Nativity, we celebrate the beginning of that. Throughout the Easter cycle, we celebrate how that ended and was transformed, and on Pentecost, we celebrate how that continues through the working of the Spirit. So, you know, the usual Pentecost homilies are about unity and diversity, about ministry, about going out. But I think looking at these readings and looking at the way that our calendar is so tightly tied to the Jewish calendar, that as we think about Jesus speaking on the Feast of Tabernacles while we celebrate our Pentecost, we can think about the ways that the Lord has come down to us in history, sacramentally, and through the Spirit. And as any kind of harvest feast that we celebrate, a harvest feast is about Thanksgiving, particularly when we don't have to go back to the fields tomorrow because it's the last of the harvest. So maybe Pentecost, in addition to all those things that we are so used to, maybe Pentecost is also a time to think about the richness of the gifts with which we have been blessed. Maybe that's what we should do on this harvest festival.